It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. I hope you are having a tremendous Monday. If you like football, I guess you are. We got two NFL games. The New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins are going at it right now down in Miami, Florida. The Dolphins actually scored the first touchdown of the game. The Dolphins now lead the New York Jets 10-0. The Jets had an opportunity to punch the ball in at the at the goal line. The ball was punched away, fumbled. The New York Jets, instead of getting 6 or 7 points, they get nothing. Miami responds with a touchdown on the other end, 10-0. Miami, a 4-yard touchdown reception by Darren Waller. Yeah, the guy who retired from the New York Jets, the guy who said, I am out of here, he came back. Now he's playing for the Dolphins, helping them so far win this game. Bad news for the New York Jets as well. Things don't look good. Ooh, Breece Hall getting popped. Well, that wasn't Breece. Oh, my God. Oh, Braylon Allen. Oh, my God. Damn. Bacha, how many times they got a replay a busted up knee?
Quite a bit, because they're actually seeing if he fumbled the ball on the same play. He probably hurt his knee.
Hurt his knee?
Yeah, that thing was, he was walking, so I don't know if it's completely cooked.
Listen, man, knees are not supposed to go that direction, okay? Leg goes front to back. Not supposed to go side to side. Anyway, the Miami Dolphins are still leading the Jets here 10-0. It looks like the New York Jets are going to maintain possession of the ball despite that run from Allen. He's going to be feeling that for quite a while. Okay, the New York Jets trying to put some points up on the board. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate, SiriusXM 375, and a smart speaker if you have one. You can always call up as well. You want to call? You want to talk? You can do that. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're minutes away from the start of another Monday Night Football game. We've discussed this one, the Denver Broncos taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. I just want to see how many interceptions are we going to see from Jake Browning? Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? We're going to find out sooner than later. The Bengals suffered their first loss of the season last week, an ugly beatdown against the Minnesota Vikings, 48-10. I don't know if Denver is going to beat them up 48-10, but the Denver Broncos, it would be a massive disappointment if they don't walk away with the victory here. Bo Nix, four teams so far this season, not necessarily having the best results. The Denver Broncos are 1-2 in a two-game losing streak. These are some close games. They lost to the Colts 29-28. Last week, they lost to the Chargers 23-20. Bo Nix on the season, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's going to try to turn things around at home. And Bo Nix, Monday Night Football, ABC, he's here for it.
I feel like, you know, it's every one of our dreams to play in front of the lights with, national television. It's what you grow up watching. So it's just, you know, I think there's some adrenaline that comes with the game that, it's not just a Sunday afternoon with a lot of teams playing. You know, you're the primetime game and, you know, the only one that's on.
They're not the only one that's on. This is the part that it's infuriating to me. Why do I gotta make a choice? You know, here in the studio, I can watch 2 damn games at the same time while I talk on the radio. But you're not the only game in town. I mean, the majority of America, well, let's see. I'm trying to think about which game could get ugly quick. New York Jets, Dolphins, probably keep it close. 2 bad teams. Denver should be annihilating Cincinnati. They should beat him up tonight. They should whoop that ass. Their head coach, Sean Payton, always angry, never happy. Sean Payton is taking a look at what's going on, and he's just like, listen, folks, it's Monday Night Football. We can fall to 1-3 if we don't win. Listen to what he said.
We talked about playing at home, obviously, and then, playing a national TV game. That's important. So I think it's something that, you know, these players understand, you know, generationally. But we'll have, you know, we'll have a, it's important we start fast. We'll have a good crowd behind us, and we should take advantage of that.
Okay, so are you going to be the backup quarterback? Are you the Denver Broncos with one of the top defenses last year? Are you going to beat the team that doesn't have Joe Burrow? Are you going to intercept Jake Browning? I mean, let's ask Jake Browning. What do you think about Denver's defense, Mr. Backup Quarterback?
The two main guys get a lot of pub, but, I mean, they rotate a decent amount of guys through there that all very capable of winning and being game wreckers. So, obviously, I think they're, I don't know the exact stats, but I think last year they were really high up there in sacks. This year they're high up there in sacks, so they got a good group.
Yeah, if I were Jake Browning, I'd be running from Benito. Okay, he already leads the team with 3 sacks on the season this year, earning that money after he just got that big old contract. I guess somebody else worried about Jake Browning is his head coach, Zach Taylor. He says, you know, this guy is not Joe Burrow. Did you know that?
He's still in his first couple games as a starter in his career, and he's done a great job managing it, in my opinion. We got to take care of the football. We got to be great around him. And I expect, you know, we'll have a good week of that.
Botcher, give me a score for this game, man. Give me a score.
I feel like this is a trap game just because nobody's expecting the Bengals to do anything. And it's a Monday Night Football game, so things can get a little crazy. 27-22, I'm going to say the Broncos win.
Okay. Is that a trap game? Well, yes, it can be a trap game. But if you're picking them to win, it's not a trap game.
No, but it could end up being one. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, if that's okay. What I'm predicting.
Oh, well, okay, that's different. I'm like, Botcher, what are you getting ready to say here? What are you getting ready to say? Because I was like, well, let's get the brass tacks. If you have to put money down on who's winning, you're going with the Broncos. So, okay. All right, no taking. Yeah, I mean, can it be an ass whooping? 48-10 they lost last week. Not going to expect that this time around. Speaking of bad teams, the Tennessee Titans at this point in time, they should just lose every game the rest of the season. The Texans blew them out yesterday, 26-0. There's no hope. There's no sun. There's no sunshine. You got Cam Ward looking like a complete disaster. The Titans are on a 10-game losing streak dating back to last season. Tennessee is 0-4. Cam Ward yesterday, 10-26 passing, 108 yards, 1 interception. He was sacked twice for the season. Cam Ward, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Like, there is nothing exciting about this team. Brian Callahan, head coach, has already given up his play calling abilities to try to turn things around. And, well, yesterday, speaking with a reporter, he felt that he was, I don't know, maybe being run through the mud. Take a listen to this interaction with a reporter.
Do you think this is a resilient and relentless
football team? I know what you're doing there, Paul. I know what you're doing. And you know, I'm not going to answer that right now.
Well, I mean, those are the themes that you've tried to catch.
Yeah.
Football team, you're 20-some games in.
Yeah. I'm just compose myself here before I say something I regret. But, yes, I think this team is resilient. I think it is relentless. We haven't played good enough football, and I think those are two very distinct different things. We have to execute at a better level. We have to coach better. That's really all I can say.
Yeah, the guy got a record of 3-18. And now they're 0-4. You would expect a little bit of progress, maybe, with Cam Ward here in this year. It's still ridiculous to me that the Tennessee Titans said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get rid of Mike Vrabel because he actually knows what he's doing. A couple of seasons ago, the Titans had, I don't want to say no talent on the roster. They weren't talented enough to win games, even with a great head coach like Mike Vrabel. Vrabel pretty much told them, and they got rid of him. And then they got rid of the GM and Rand Carthon, and now here they are still in the toilet bowl. And then they're going to get rid of Brian Callahan. They should have never gotten rid of Vrabel. Yeah, they screwed that one up. And yeah, I'm sure that at the end of the season, at maximum, Brian Callahan will be shown the door as well. And then here you have a quarterback in year one in Cam Ward, who will probably have to restart the process because they fired his head coach and everyone in the system. The Titans are just shooting themselves in the foot from an ownership level all the way down. Cam Ward, welcome to the NFL. after this 26-0 loss to the Texans. Cam Ward was asked about the team and their performance, and he had three letters.
I mean, if we're keeping a buck right now, we ass. So we 0-4. We have, this point, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our games, and we've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in, especially myself on the offensive line, from the defensive line, from the special teams to all three faces. We have to play together. We have not played together this year yet. And that's just something that, you know, we want to preach about it every day. Every day we got to do better, and we're doing that, but it has to show up on Sundays. It hasn't showed up yet, but it got to show up next week.
Oh, man, next week is Arizona. We know Arizona up and down and up and down. Arizona's going to beat them. Maybe Cam Ward will put up some nice stats and nice numbers, but I really look forward to, I'm not going to sit down and watch that game full time. I'm going to pop in, pop out, look at the numbers, look at the stats. I am not watching that, okay? Cam Ward should have a decent game, I would think, but I would still look for Arizona to go out there and get the victory at home. We know how Cam Ward feels about the team. Those three letters speak for itself. Hey, head coach, what do you think about what your quarterback said about the team?
I think what everyone is learning about Cam is that he cares a tremendous amount. It's really important to him. He wants to win football games. He wants to deliver winning performances for our organization, for our fans. That's what he cares about. There's nothing else that he has any interest in other than playing football and trying to play football at a high level. And those responses, you know, for him, that he wears his emotions a little bit out there, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because at the end of the day, I know where it's coming from, and I know why he's the way he is in those moments, is because he wants nothing more than to play well and win.
Oh, yeah. Well, he better get used to the losing, because the Tennessee Titans have more of it throughout the course of the year. Looks like the Tennessee Titans are on their way to another bad season, maybe another one or two draft pick selecting in the draft. Good luck to the Titans. Good luck to their fans. They don't got a lot to look forward to this season. What you would hope is that Cam Ward is not ruined throughout the course of the year, that at least you have something to look forward to. Like in a few years, ain't nothing happening this year. Speaking of, the New York Mets, what the hell were they doing yesterday? Okay, what have the New York Mets been doing since the summertime? They were the best team in Major League Baseball heading into June, and then things just pretty much flipped. 38-55 from June 12th. They had a record of 45-24, and then they just hit the skids. They finished barely above 500, 83-79. We got all these damn teams that are going straight to the postseason starting tomorrow, and the New York Mets said, no thanks. Too many injured pitchers. Cincinnati Reds get in instead of them. They lose last night, yesterday, to the Miami Marlins 4-0. You got Francisco Lindor ending the game. Pete Alonso, his career with the New York Mets might be over. You got Steve Cohen, who's over here apologizing for a team with a $300 million plus payroll, not in the postseason. Maybe Botcher. Did Jackson Dart? No, he didn't wipe away any stench for New York City, right? It still stinks for the Mets, huh?
Oh, it didn't help at all. Because a lot of the Giants fans who are Mets fans, one win in the football season, cool. But they've sat down and watched 162 games of this Mets season. And to be rewarded with what happened in game 162 is a disgrace.
Damn. Well, you're a Mets fan. Or do you feel disgraced?
Yes. It is disgusting that the performance, and you can't put it on one person or player, but it's just the entire team just withered. And you can't, the hitting was cold. You could say the pitching was bad. You had no real starting pitching at the end of the year besides for the three rookies. And even the rookies weren't even great. And then the bullpen was terrible.
Well, let's listen to the guy making the most money on the New York Mets. Juan Soto is sitting around with a contract paying him $765 million. He had a slow start. He had an MVP quality finish, but they ain't getting it. Well, he's not getting it because they didn't win anything. Hey, Juan Soto, why did the Mets suck this year?
Baseball, man. Baseball. I don't think even if you have a great team in paper and nobody's going to bring it to you. You got to go out there and get it. So I think it's part of it, and we just fell off short.
Hey, manager Mendoza, he is going to keep his job. How do you feel about the season ending, man?
There's no word to describe, you know, what we're going through. It's pain, it's frustrations, you know, there's, you name it, you know. Came in with a lot of expectations, and, you know, here we are going home, you know. Not only we fell short, we didn't even get into October, you know, and this is a team that is built to not only get to October, but to play deep into October.
Well, he's going to keep his job. Apparently, he's going to keep his job. I told you about Steve Cohen apologizing to the New York Mets and their fans. He says, we're pretty much going to look real deep. It's the obvious reasons why we lost, and we're going to try to dive a little bit deeper into that as well. I told you about Pete Alonso pretty much having a contract year, a big season on his way, potentially out the door. He is going to be a free agent. Is he sticking around with the Mets? We have no idea. This is what Pete Alonso had to say about this Mets squad.
They've continued to believe in me. And I mean, I've loved playing here. There's some great guys in this clubhouse. There's some great people in the staff. And I mean, every single day, it's just been a pleasure coming to work and putting on the orange and blue. So for me, it's I mean, I've really appreciated and been nothing but full of gratitude every single day.
Hey, 38 home runs, 126 RBIs. That's second in Major League Baseball. Pete Alonso will get paid. I assume that he will stick around with the New York Mets. But is he getting one of these, I don't know, $40 million deals? No, it's not what they're giving away to first baseman right now. A matter of fact, let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's talk some Major League Baseball. Let's talk about some of the teams that made it in, and then also the New York Mets as well. We're going to have a conversation with Gabe Lax. He's going to join us from USA Today on the other side. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. NFL season is underway. NBA is going through its media days. NHL is upon us as well. But Major League Baseball, we're going into the postseason. That's right. We got postseason baseball that starts tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow we got these wild card games that will be underway. We got a bunch of teams that are in. We have a few teams like the Mets and Astros who are out. We got a team like Detroit who still hung in there despite how they finished up the season. And then we got some of the big players that people are looking forward to. Of course, the Dodgers and the Yankees, teams like the Blue Jays and Seattle surging as well. To talk about everything going on, what we can expect through the Major League Baseball postseason is someone who covers all things baseball for USA Today. Joining us right now is Gabe Lax. Gabe, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you tonight, JR?
I'm good. Always a pleasure to have you on. Before we get into the teams that are in, let's talk about the teams that are not. I mean, we heard and got the apology from Steve Cohen with the New York Mets earlier today. What are some of the adjustments that they can make? Like, Pete Alonso is likely to be back, of course, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting what happens when you go onto the open market. Bottom line is he's going to cost a lot more than he did last winter when they were able to get him on a two-year, $54 million deal with an opt-out. He's obviously opting out. Great season, 36 home runs, I think, more than 120 RBIs. This year, he will not be attached to a compensatory draft pick, which a lot of teams use as an excuse to not sign guys. So he's an unfettered free agent. Absolutely nothing holding him back. And with those numbers, it's going to be a pretty big market for the polar bear. So they're going to have to ask themselves, do we want to commit to that? Do we want to make him a $35 million player, you know, and commit nine figures to him? Because I'm sure there will be a fair amount of suitors this year as opposed to last year when, you know, his agent Scott Boras just could not kind of develop the leverage, and he ended up being signed relatively close to spring training. With that being said, you know, interesting thing David Stearns mentioned at today's press conference is he wants to continue to try to build pitching from within. And that's the biggest paucity in the Mets right now is the pitching. So obviously Nolan McLean had a wonderful eight-start, I don't mean to say cameo, he was their best pitcher by the end of the year. So, you know, and then the other two guys, Jonah Tong and Brandon Sproat, they, you know, see if they can take a step forward as well. And that was kind of Stern's style with the Brewers as well, was kind of piece together the pitching, however. And obviously he has a lot more money to play with now, but, you know, you got to pay for power. And I think, you know, you're going to continue to try to do that and try to get more runs out of the production that they got from just a phenomenal, you know, all three of those guys, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, they're all going to get MVP votes, quite a few of them for Soto and Lindor. But, you know, the production didn't quite equate to, a team with such a big three at the top. So I think they're going to retain Alonso just based on the fact that, you know, they'll find another way to skin the cat with regard to solving their pitching problems, which will probably be a lot of depth signings toward the back of the rotation, try to find a Griffin Canning, who was great before he blew out his Achilles this year, guys like that. So, yeah, I'd lean toward Pete coming back.
Yeah, Gabe Lax is joining us from USA Today. New York Mets not making a postseason with that $300-plus million payroll. A team that also, I don't want to say fell into the postseason, they certainly did. The Detroit Tigers, they are still in. There are no Houston Astros. And in the swiftest and best way possible, the Tigers are going to take on a team that pretty much jumped them to get into the postseason. They have a chance to go out here and beat Cleveland. Dave or Gabe, do you think that's going to happen? I don't see it.
It's a new day. Nothing matters. One and 11, whatever it was down the stretch, does not matter. 1-5 against the Guardians the last 2 weeks does not matter. They're going to hand the ball to Tarik Skubal in game one, and they're going to take their chances. And that's why, you know, you're kind of seeing them as a relatively, slight betting favorite for the series. Now, they've got a lot of problems with regard to, like, the depth of their pitching, first of all, and the sort of trustworthiness of their bullpen beyond a couple of guys. But that's not too different from other teams. I think the thing that they have in their favor is that Cleveland really can't hit. not a daunting offensive lineup. The two guys everybody knows you need to shut down are Stephen Kwan and the eternal MVP candidate Jose Ramirez. And you kind of know what you're dealing with. You're going to have a bunch of platoon pieces flying at you, but you're going to have a bunch of guys batting 190 trying to support these two, you know, absolute studs in the middle of, of the lineup there. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be spirited. These Rust Belt rivalries are no joke. But I do think the Tigers can push the reset button. I don't know how far they'll get, but I think they're going to get past the Guardians.
Oh, Gabe, you mentioned Skubal. He will be on the mound tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time, trying to get things set up, restart this season and a new season, a postseason against the Cleveland Guardians. We got some new faces here. It seems like the Mariners are always close to getting in, but don't get in. And this year, they're in. What are the chances that the Mariners and then also these Blue Jays advance to the World Series? They look like they're situated from top to bottom.
This isn't March Madness or even the NFL playoffs, so you kind of use this term lightly or not at all in baseball. But the Mariners got the proverbial great draw. they earned it because they played their way into the number two seed and in a first round bye. They get the winner of the Tigers and Guardians, which means you're not going to see Skubal till at least game two. that's a pretty big advantage going forward. So I like the Mariners to get to the ALCS I don't want to say relative ease, but I think they'll handle the winner of that series. So, yes, they're definitely a live dog, especially with their pitching. You know, a guy like Cal Raleigh, I mean, 60 home runs doesn't necessarily equate to a postseason success. But they finally surrounded him with a little bit more in the lineup there. Obviously, Julio Rodriguez returned to kind of MVP-ish caliber form. But, Josh Naylor has been a godsend since he got acquired from Arizona. Eugenio Suarez took a while to get going, but he's back in the mix, nearly hitting 50 home runs. Key guy to keep an eye on, Brian Wu has a pectoral issue.
Yes.
Put a damper on the end of his year, but he should be all right, but he's been their best pitcher this year. So So we'll see what happens. So I like the Mariners' chances much better to get to the ALCS than I do the Blue Jays.
No, the Blue Jays certainly going to have to deal with either the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox. Not necessarily, you know, the juice that we got, you know, 20 or so years ago between these two teams. But what do you expect from this wild card series between Yankees and Boston?
Oh, it'll be really good. And, you know, these even though it's not a wild card game, it is now a quote-unquote series. it's still just bam and it's done. You know, the team that wins game one almost always, I think it's practically always won, you know, this, you know, the entire series. So it's everything tomorrow night. Max Fried versus Garrett Crochet. The Yankees finished on, I think, an 8-game winning streak, 17-3 down the stretch. But they're already, you know, Aaron Boone said today, making adjustments. They're going to take a couple of lefties out of the lineup, Ben Rice and Jazz Chisholm as well, to get Paul Goldschmidt's bat in there. That's how good Garrett Crochet is. He does make you adjust and try to, do the best you can against him. So it's going to be an incredible pitching matchup tomorrow. And, I don't think it'll be, you know, that amazing spirited 2004 hate fest that it was back in the day, but it'll be highly entertaining. Tomorrow's game is probably definitely the best game in the wild card round, just because the two guys that are pitching. And I think I lean slightly toward the Yankees, just being at home, having a little bit better pitching depth, and the lineup by and large is in a really good place right now.
Gabe Lax is joining us from USA Today. When you take a look at the National League, we know the Dodgers won the championship last year. They're trying to figure out where they can best situate all of their pitchers throughout, just even into the bullpen. They have a surplus at this point in time. And if they advance, I assume they will against Cincinnati, they take on the Phils right away in the second round, the divisional round. What are your thoughts on how things can shape up in this National League bracket, knowing that the Brewers are still there? They're probably the most complete team.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The great unknown is, you know, the Brewers, the proverbial team that's, the whole is better than the sum of their parts. How is that going to equate to the postseason? Because they got a lot of guys, you know, and they mix and match so well, but you shorten things down. You're facing an ace pretty much almost every day in the postseason. How is that lineup going to, take it to the postseason? So that's still a lot of unanswered questions. I'm not dismissing them at all. I just don't know. I don't think anybody knows what the Brewers are going to bring to the table. Very solid team, run the bases well, fundamentally sound, pretty deep. They can match up with you all day. But we'll see how that plays in the playoffs. Now, let's look back to last year for a minute. The Padres and Dodgers met in the NL Division Series. And when it was all over in retrospect, that was the best matchup of the postseason. That was kind of a mini World Series when you saw what the Dodgers did to the Yankees, pretty much wiped the floor with them. They were in an absolute battle with the Padres, who had to come through the wild card. So I think you're going to see that with Phillies Dodgers. Not to say that they're definitely the two best teams, but this might be, the winner may go on to win the World Series, and that's going to be just a phenomenal matchup. And obviously the Phillies can just sit there and wait, and then that little madhouse they got down on Broad Street will be absolutely rocking by the time the Dodgers presumably get there. Although I got to say, it kind of looks like the biggest mismatch of these four wild card matchups.
Oh, it certainly does. It sounds like you're leaning towards a champ coming out of the NL. Who do you think will go ahead and represent the American League?
Yeah, that's a good question. I am feeling I'm feeling a Phillies Yankees matchup, and I don't necessarily take that to the bank, especially because the Yankees do have that extra step to take through the wild card round, but. The Blue Jays are reeling a little bit, just the pitching isn't quite firing the way they would like it to be. They're going to have to rely on a kid who just came up a month ago, Trey Yesavage. He's probably going to be in their playoff rotation. So that's a lot to ask. I think they get through the Jays, and then, that playoff experience, I think, and that determination that, wanting to get back there so badly, I think they match up pretty well with the Mariners. That would be a very good ALCS. But, tentatively casting my lot with the Yankees to get out of the AL.
Okay, we know year to year things can change so much. We have an expanded postseason now. We know teams can get hot. We saw what happened with the New York Mets this year, and then they can fall off. Is there a team, are there a few teams that you think will be better situated to make the postseason next year that didn't make it this year?
Yeah, a lot of teams with, a lot of disappointment, a lot of unmet expectations. You can kind of start with the Baltimore Orioles, 101 wins, 2023, 91 wins the year after that. A lot of injuries, a lot of kind of meh offseason acquisitions. You know, they finished last in the AL East, but that young core is there. They need to kind of look themselves in the eye and get better over the winter. They need a frontline starting pitcher, but they definitely have a lot of things in place to flip from 75 and 87 to 87 or maybe even more wins. So I start there with Baltimore. Beyond that, you know, it's a good question. I think, you know, the Mets have to perform a little better. They have to be better than 83 wins next year. I have confidence that David Stearns will push the right buttons in the postseason. And then beyond that, you know, the San Francisco Giants fired Bob Melvin today. Be very interesting to see who they tap for manager with, Bruce Bochy perhaps run it back, reawakening the glory years. But again, they have finished 80 and 82, 81 and 81, 81 and 81 the last 3 years. So, you know, that's not much. You don't need much more. You need a little bit more pitching. You'll have a whole year of Rafael Devers and Willie Adames getting used to hitting in San Francisco, which is not easy. It's a tough reality check for a slugger when you go, oh my God, you know, that ball didn't get out. You know, if you're used to hitting at Fenway Park, you know, next year they'll know how to kind of better leverage their talent to the ballpark and know what they're dealing with. So, I see the Giants as a bit of a sleeper as well, pending, of course, everything that's coming around in the offseason in just a few weeks.
Well, we're glad that the postseason is here. It gets started tomorrow. We got a full slate of wild card games all afternoon into the evening. Gabe, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Where can people follow you and all your work with USA Today?
Yes, it's at Gabe Lacks, GABELACQUES, or at MLB.USATODAY.com. And we'll be pumping it out for the next 5 weeks here. So plenty of content to fill the bill there.
Yeah, best time of the year, if you ask me. Hey, Gabe, we'll catch you down the line, okay?
Okay, appreciate it, man. Take care.
Thank you so much to Gabe Lacks for joining us from USA Today. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Major League Baseball postseason starts tomorrow. The NFL is wrapping up week 4 of their season tonight. Hey, we got 2 games going on right now. To get an update on these games and everything else going on in the world of sports, before we get into some college football, we've had some things go down as well. It's time for a news flash. Here he is, Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Gabe Lacks again for joining us from USA Today to talk some Major League Baseball as the postseason gets started tomorrow. It looks a little easier to call in the National League. Well, maybe not easier. It's difficult. It's either going to be the Phillies, I believe, or the Dodgers. I'm going to go with the Dodgers over the Phillies. And then you take a look at the American League, it looks like the Yankees, especially on the run and roll that they're on, that they're going to probably go forward and represent the American League. I'm just happy that it's here. Major League Baseball season is long. It's kind of crazy to think here we are in October already. Not yet, I know. It's only September 29th. But things have kind of flown by here already. We also got an update on all the action in Monday Night Football. Thank you so much to Rich Ackerman for coming by and filling us in. We got 2 games Monday Night Football. The New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins, they are currently at halftime. The Dolphins lead 10-3. Meanwhile, in Denver, the Cincinnati Bengals, led by Jake Browning, right now they lead 3-0. About 3.5 minutes to go here. 3 minutes to go. In the first quarter, Cincinnati leads Denver 3-0. Fully expecting Denver to still win this game. It's early, okay? It's early. We got a lot to get into. The phone lines are open if you want to give a holler. That's 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I should also let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. As we start the Major League Baseball postseason tomorrow, as we end week four of the NFL season tonight, we did have some big college football games that took place over the week. I can tell you, being here in Georgia, a lot of complaints, especially going out here and seeing the Georgia Bulldogs lose to Alabama again. Outside of the Georgia Bulldogs getting these two damn championships, it seemed that it was always Alabama over Georgia. With Nick Saban gone, you would think that the Bulldogs could at least keep it going. No. Alabama beat them 41-34. Like, what are we doing out here? Now, we can't win. They got Kalen DeBoer out here. Nick Saban is gone, and they still can't win. Botch, I'm sick of this. And then everybody down here complains about it too, man.
Well, mainly, they were a great program for so long, so it's understandable why they can't beat Alabama. But now, with how they're looking under DeBoer, I'm starting to get some question marks right there with Kirby.
Well, Kirby Smart, what do you want to get rid of? Kirby Smart?
No, it's not get rid of him. It's just like, is it they're just in your head a little bit too much? There's a question, because the talent wise, you could argue that Georgia has better talent, but maybe it's not. You can't blame coaching. The guys won national championships.
Yeah, but can you blame the players? How is this in the players' head? Is it the pressure on the players that I don't know? Because you think about it, a lot of these guys weren't even around when the Bulldogs were winning national championships. They weren't around when, you know, they were always getting smoked by Alabama. There's no explanation. Kirby Smart talked about it. Another loss, 24-21. This is what Kirby Smart had to say about going up against Alabama. He's like 1-7, 1-8 right now.
I mean, what's everybody else's record against them? You got it? I don't either. Like, I don't lose sleep over that, because those games have been like championship caliber games, right? And even when we play in the regular season, they've been. I just saw 25 scouts out there. They're all there to watch these teams play. So that's not going to affect me. Like, I'm going to be happy and just go lucky if our team comes back and plays well. That's what I worry about. But that. It's just, we got to get better. And next year, it won't have anything to do with this year.
Oh, my God. Ugh. He's right, which makes it even more maddening to know they keep taking their lunch money. Like, Nick Saban is gone. We shouldn't have any more of this. Please stop. It's just, get it over with. Georgia Bulldogs out here losing again to Alabama. This stinks. And then we also had another game. Well, this was a good one. A big shout-out to Oregon. The Ducks are not going anywhere. The Ducks are going to be out here competing for a national championship. Damn it, we might see the Ducks and the Ohio State University. It took overtime. They beat two. It took two overtimes. Oregon went out there and beat Penn State 30-24. A big shout outs to the quarterback. 14 touchdowns, one interception on the year. Things keep on moving for Dante Moore. Listen to Dan Lanning talk about his quarterback, who, damn it, Mateer is out with a broken hand. Dante Moore might step up. Listen to Dan Lanning tell you about his QB.
I think we got the best quarterback in college football, right? I mean, anybody watches that game, I don't know. Maybe I don't see everybody else, but that guy's composure, his poise. I mean, even the big play at the end there on the first overtime, you know, we're about to throw a screen into the boundary. He has the wherewithal to not throw it in the boundary, turn around and get it thrown back to the field, and get a fourth and one. I don't know. You guys will have to tell me. I thought that was going to be targeting. Looked like it from the field, but we ended up, you know, converting to fourth and one.
Well, what about a quarterback who's expected to be one of the best? He still is, but he seems like he's always choking things away. Drew Aller, he had a big interception last year in the college football playoff. He had an interception this past Saturday against the Ducks. He keeps throwing these INTs. This is what Drew Aller had to say about taking the L at home in a whiteout game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't prepare all week to come out and lose the game. So obviously it hurts. We had opportunities. I think that's kind of the unfortunately, the bright side of it, is we had opportunities, obviously, at the end to come back and win the game if we go down and score and make the two-point conversion. But, I mean, that's the way it shakes out. It's a long season ahead of us. We're going to have more opportunities down the road to, you know, fix this. And, you know, I'll be the first to, you know, go into the fire. There's no other coaching staff or team that I'd rather go to war with, and I know we're going to, you know, make the most of this opportunity and learn from it and grow from it.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? There's nothing. Does anybody trust Drew Aller in a big game? That'll be the whole thing until they get to the college football playoff. Is he going to choke the game away? And we got to figure that one out sooner than later. Speaking of choking, we'll get into this on the other side of the break because we had a press conference today. Bobby Petrino is back as the head coach of the Razorbacks. Yeah, did he ride his motorcycle to the press conference? Did he wear his neck brace on the way in? Yeah, Pittman is gone. Bobby Petrino is back. That guy's a nut. Oh, yeah, speaking of press conferences, the NBA, they had quite a few of those today. LeBron spoke, Jokic spoke, Giannis spoke. We'll hear from some of the key players in the NBA as they're gearing up to start their preseason. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.